The following is a radio interview I did, and I'm David Duke, and the interview is with Tom Hartman on a syndicated national show. He invited me on to talk about Obama, but obviously, as you listen to the program, you realize he didn't want me to say much of anything, I think because he couldn't really argue with my points. Here it is.
When Barack Obama said, "I don't look like the guys on the dollar bill," that he was injecting race into the campaign, and the McCain camp jumped all over that with both feet. And is this now going to become a campaign of race? In the midst of this, we find David Duke, the former Ku Klux Klan leader in Louisiana, the state legislator, and now former presidential candidate and author of two books, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism. He's the president of EURO, the European American Unity and Rights Organization, an organization for European American patriots, as they describe themselves. He teaches in Eastern Europe. His website is davidduke.com. David Duke, welcome to our show.
I'm glad to be here. I realize I always get introduced as former Ku Klux Klansman David Duke. That was 30 years ago. You know, Robert Byrd, as you probably know, was a former Klansman. He's not introduced that way, though, but I guess that's because he's become a liberal and I haven't become a liberal yet. However, I have a lot of positions
And what I see is, look out, the Jews are coming, look out, the black people are coming, and that's sort of the message of the Klan. So,
I don't think that's the message at all, but I do think that Israel has an incredible influence on the American political scene, and I think Israel has led us to disaster in the Iraq war. I think we went to war in Iraq specifically because Israel wanted it. It was a war for Israel, not a war for oil. We didn't get one drop of oil out of this war, and the entire coterie of the so-called neoconservatives, Jewish extremists like Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and the rest of these people, those were the two main architects of the war. They're very strong Israeli partisans, and we have many Israeli partisans in the media.
I agree on that, David, because I think I can, and in fact I intend to, in my entire third hour today, to lay out the evidence that it was a war for oil, and that in fact our presence in the Middle East is really all about oil. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is this op-ed that you wrote.
I really got to say about the oil thing. I mean, I wish I was on. I'd love to debate that specific subject for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we can discuss that some other time.
The oil companies did not lobby for this war. The oil companies did not lobby. AIPAC lobbied for it. The 64 Jewish presidents lobbied for the war. Specifically, Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz wrote a paper for Israel about how we got to go to war.
David, let me just stop you right here.
Yeah. What?
We invited you on the program to talk about your saying Obama is a visual aid for white Americans.
Yeah.
We just don't get it yet that we white people have lost control of our country, and unless we get it back, we're heading for complete annihilation as a people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do a rant on anti-Semitism, you know, and you want to get into all of that, we can do that some other time. Give me at least 30 seconds to get ready for it.
I don't think anti-Semitism is being opposed or Israeli policies anti-Semitism.
Looking at your website, I would say that you're the definition of it. But that's a separate issue. I'd like to talk. Well, actually, it's not. It's another form of racism. And here's
no, I
would
suggest
to you
Jewish
that the
pullback
left and take
Jewish
advantage.
Racism. I expose Jewish.
Now, let me just toss out a sentence here, and then I'll let you speak. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
I would submit to you, David, that the people who have been taking advantage of poor and middle-income white people, the people to whom you have been appealing, are actually named Rockefeller and Bush and Paulson and Lay and Tillerson, and that their high priest was once named Nixon, who said that he was going to play the race card, and then Reagan, who kicked off his campaign in a racially charged place, in a racially charged way, and now Karl Rove. They're stealing all the wealth from all of us, and as working class whites and poor whites get poorer and poorer, they then play the race card, trying to get people to think that the people of a different ancestry, a different religion, or a different skin color are the cause of our problems, or of your problems.
I think you're partially right.
I think you're afraid of the wrong people, David.
Listen,
it's time to wake up.
I think you're partially right. I think there's no question about the fact that these people have used white America. Even Ronald Reagan said that he was opposed to affirmative action. And yet the affirmative action got bigger during his presidency. And affirmative action is racial discrimination against white people. That's what it is, against better qualified white people, including many poor white people, in favor of middle-class black people, because they're certainly Jesse Jackson's son is no poor person.
This is another example of how the pot gets smaller.
Well, let me tell you something. Well, I agree.
I
think both blacks and whites have been exploited by the politicians, and that's why we're not going to vote this time for someone like a McCain. We're not going to vote for McCain. We're not going to vote for McCain because McCain is...
We have lost Mr. Duke. Okay.
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah.
You lost? At this point, the connection was lost. Whether intentional or not, I don't know. They called back in a few minutes, and the program proceeded on. Hey, we're back, huh?
David Duke?
Yeah, we're back, huh?
All right, hold on. I don't know what happened. You want a cell phone?
No, I'm on a computer, Skype. It's a very good connection. I do shows all the time.
All right. Hold on.
Must have just overseas.
Very wealthy families who are skimming everything off the top.
It's the fault of those black people who are stealing your jobs.
No,
that's the pitch that's been made. David, you're back with us.
It's not the fault of the black people. Don't put words in my mouth. I don't blame the black people for the condition that we are in this country. I blame primarily white politicians who sold out both the white and the black people of this country for lots of policies which are damaging both. But I also don't agree with discrimination against white people in this massive discrimination called affirmative action. I also don't think that we should have an immigration policy that is meant to make white people a minority in this country and really lose the foundation of the values of this country.
David, why does it matter?
It matters to me because...
Why does it matter the color of people's skin? I mean, we've got people who are white, brown, red, yellow, all across the spectrum.
I'm not so concerned about
values that are absolutely core American values.
I'm not so concerned about color of skin. In fact, I know a lot of white people who have very dark skin because they tan a lot. It's not color of skin. It's the idea that our culture, our heritage, our way of life, even our unique identity. Why does it matter? Why does it matter to Tibet that massive Chinese immigration will destroy the unique character of the Tibetan people, their religious background, their values?
They're a separate nation.
Well, that's right, and we're a separate nation.
China is a repressive dictatorship. China is coming in and murdering people in Tibet. I don't see African Americans who, by the way, Europeans brought to this continent originally. I don't see African Americans as some sort of evil force in America. I mean, why not try to bring together people in this country and heal this country?
You keep putting words in my mouth. I'm not saying that they're an evil force. All I just said was, and you're not really listening to what I say. I guess you've got this prejudice about what I stand for by how the media defines me. What I'm saying is that if a people are if we go from a majority population of 90% to a minority and eventually a small minority, they lose the structure, the character of their society, the same way that Tibet will lose the character and structure of their society with massive Chinese immigration. It's the same principle. I don't want to just say Tibet. I also want to say Atlanta.
The comparison with Tibet is nonsense, David.
No, it's not
Tibet,
nonsense.
You're talking about an invasion of a foreign country that's bringing a different language, that is outlawing religion, that's murdering people, that's doing away with cultural traditions. Here in the United States, you've got a lot of people with Hispanic ancestry. You've got a lot of people with African American ancestry who revere our Constitution, who believe in the principles of this country, who love this country.
Listen, I know there's lots of black people who love this country. I'm not trying to hurt them or in any way or repress them in any way.
Why are you saying that Obama's election will be a clear signal to millions of our people, which is a visual aid for white Americans who don't get it yet, that we've lost control of our country?
Because he stands for every principle against which is in the best interest of the white Americans. You know, McCain or anybody else.
Wait a minute, how is the interest of white Americans any different than the interest of black Americans?
If you want me to answer your questions, you're going to have to give me a chance. I mean, I try to answer it, and within the middle of a sentence, you interrupt me. Look,
okay, we've got a minute left, David. You can have it.
Well, again, if people want to see what I think about these things, I guess they're going to have to go to my website, davidduke.com. They really can't get it much on this show. But every candidate is asked by the media every day in the campaigns, what are you going to do for the black community? What are you going to do for the Hispanic community? Nobody says, what are you going to do for the white community? White people have interest too. We have a heritage in this country. If we become a small minority,
you know, I heard that constantly. Where people, you know, Chris Matthews referring to white communities, ordinary people. I mean,
well,
they don't, the question over and
let
over
me tell
again.
You something.
Was,
they don't
know,
say white people. They may order you because exactly because what's going on here is you've got a reverse discrimination. You've got a discrimination going on against white people in America, and we are losing this country. And Obama is a symbol of that. This guy is best friends with two communist terrorists, Bernardine Dorn and Lou Ayers. He's been a member of a black racist church that says they're loyal to Africa. Yeah, he is a symbol that we're losing this country. We better wake up as white people. DavidDuke.com.
Okay, DavidDuke.com is the website. David Duke. Yeah, thanks for dropping by and talking with us.
If you get a chance, maybe we can talk about things more civilly in the future.
Okay, we'll schedule that for another time.
Right.
18 minutes past the hour. Tom Huffman with you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Well, that was the program, and as you could tell, he didn't really want me to say much of anything. He kept interrupting me time and time again during the show. But I did get some messages out and some ideas out. Of course, when someone says about three things rapidly in a row, which one do you respond to? I mean, when he talked about the fact that how they're not bringing other language, well, what does he think the massive immigration from Mexico is if not bringing another language? And, of course, they really can't address and they can't face up to the fact that affirmative action is truly racial discrimination against white people. That's why they call it affirmative action. And he can't address the fact that we are undergoing something very similar to what's happening in Tibet. Whether it be another nation or not, of course, these people are coming from another nation. It's true that it's not one government forcing it on us. However, we know the Mexican government is working very hard, and they are literally talking about the fact that they want the Mexican immigration as a way to eventually expand Mexico. That may sound odd, but the documentation and the evidence for that is there. Anyway, we've gotten a lot of hits on the website in the last few minutes since I've been able to transcribe this program and get this program in shape for our airing. And I think that we will continue to educate people. I wish I would have had more chance to talk about his first subject, which that wasn't our show, about the Georgian issue and more about the oil issue. I don't think he'll invite me back to talk about whether the Iraq war was a war for oil. I would have asked him a few good questions, such as if the Iraq war is a war for oil, or if oil is what's driving our Mideast policy, then why are we allies with Israel? Why have we been allies for Israel for years when Israel has very little oil resources and the Arab countries who have the oil resources who we want to be on good terms with? You know, obviously it would be in our interest, if it was an oil-driven policy, to be in good terms with the Arab countries. How much oil does Israel really control? Almost no oil. So that's another perfect example. And of course, as I said earlier, the oil lobby did not work in favor of this war, but the Jewish lobby certainly did. And the tremendous numbers of Jewish extremists and Jewish-Israeli partisans and media. You can read my chapter from My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism on who runs the media in America, and you'll be surprised. The Jewish control of the media is far more than most people could even imagine. It's enormous. And the Jewish community is very supportive of Israel, obviously, organized Jewish community. The money raised by Jewish community in terms of politics is huge. It's amazing. In fact, the Washington Post says it's over 50% of the contributions for both parties. Look at the contributions for Barack Obama and for McCain. Most of them are Jewish investment firms like for instance, Goldman Sachs and other companies like that. You saw the presidential candidates genuflect in front of Israel. This thing has nothing to do with oil. Saddam Hussein was never our enemy. It was not a war for oil. Saddam used to be our friend. The truth is he was sold all the oil we wanted to at discount prices. And we didn't get any more support in the Middle East or anywhere else if it was for oil. If we were interested in oil, then why in the world are we boycotting Iran? Why aren't we allowing American oil companies to go in and develop Iran's massive oil supplies? It's certainly, if the oil industry in America, big oil, was really the arbiter of these policies, why aren't we allowing American oil companies to go into Iran? That's certainly an American economic interest. It's in our interest for oil and access to oil to be friends with Iran. The reason why we're not friends with Iran today is primarily because Iran is the enemy of Israel. That's why we're not friends. And Israel, of course, violates every United Nations agreement. Anyway, that was the program. I think you'll always find these programs interesting, and I just want to let you know, even though he tried not to give me a word edgewise, I've got many, many emails already. I just may click on some right now. In fact, I've got about 24, and they say literally about half of them are saying the guy didn't give you a chance to talk. It's disgusting, and they are telling me that they're going to be writing his emails and complaining to the radio network that they invited me on and then didn't give me a chance to explain my positions. So we always do well when those things happen, and I guess they really don't have any choice but to try to shut me up, because if they let me speak, I will certainly be, I believe, convincing, and I'll certainly be in a position that people will listen to what I actually say instead of these stereotypes that they create of me. They'll listen to what I say, and they'll agree, and they'll begin thinking about these issues in a different way than we're programmed to think by the mainstream media. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll be back with you soon. Bye-bye.